This is our second week of private sponsorships, and like last week, I want to thank one of the newest members of our shir, Edward Gartenhaus, for sponsoring. We thank you very, very much. I do believe there will be shir next week. Again, as always, check the email. If you're not on the email list, get on the email list. But at some point, and maybe it'll be after next week, we'll take a break till after Pesach. But we'll certainly, I hope we'll have shir tomorrow, next week if we can. Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, as we've done in years past, if you just go with most of the tenor of the Parshas, of course you have issues of the Mikdash and the Big Day Kahuna, but it could be wrong, but I didn't think it would be your first choice. So the focus over the years has been on areas of Hilchos Shabbos, which of course there are both Psukim, and it's an underlying theme of all of the Parshas of the Mishkan. And I thought that one of the out-of-the-box kind of topics, but it's less out-of-the-box than you would think, in that it's actually a Gemara, and not just some wild idea that an Achron thought of, which does come up, and on some extent you could even relate it to Psukim in our Parsha, is an issue about when someone is lost. As we'll see, the Bavli talks about being lost in the desert. There's a parallel Yerushalmi, which is not as well known, which speaks about just a Jew who's captive, Shavui ben HaNachrim, and, he doesn't have a watch, doesn't have a calendar, the guards aren't telling him, and at some point very soon he may lose track of time, which is very realistic, unfortunately. So the question is, in these kind of cases, when does one keep Shabbos? The Pasuk right at the beginning of Ayakel, of course, tells us in Pasuk Beis, Sheish Yetz Yomim Te'asem Elocho V'Yom HaShvi Yiyah Lechem Kodesh Shabbos Shabboson LaHashem. And if you will, not that the Gemara quotes our Pasuk, but to ground our shir in this week's Parsha, in essence, the question we're asking is, when you're not sure what is the 6 days of work, and therefore what day should be the seventh of rest, what do you do? That is the question of the shir. This is the subject of a machlokas, Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Chizda, and Gemara Shabbos, Daf Samach Tes. And the Gemara actually gives a quasi-philosophical explanation for the debate. But first, what are the positions? What should you do? Very real question. There's got to be a real answer. So the Gemara offers two opinions. One opinion is that the first day you realize the problem, and that may be the first day of the trip, or maybe at some point in the future, but the first day you realize the problem, keep Shabbos, and then count 6 days and keep Shabbos again. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. And the second opinion of the Gemara is, no, the first day you remember, that's day one, and then you're counting up to six, and then on day seven, you keep Shabbos. The Gemara itself says, by my kamiflagi, the Gemara in essence gives almost a philosophical or even a metaphysical explanation for the machlokas. It depends. Do you view the creation chronologically, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, and Shabbos was the seventh day that God rested, or do you view, and again, philosophically speaking, man is the center of the universe, so do we count not from the creation of the world, but from the creation of Adam? In that case, Shabbos was the first day after he was created. So that's the Gemara suggestion of the Machlokas. The first opinion says we go by Adam, so therefore you keep Shabbos the first day you realized. And the second opinion says, no, we go by the creation of the world, and therefore you count six, and then count Shabbos. The Gemara says something very interesting. So that's complicated enough. Just for curiosity's sake, I asked my 9-year-old son, what do you think, Yaakov? If you got lost in the desert or a rainforest or something, and you didn't know what time it is, what should you do? And he made this look like his eyes rolled to the back of his head, like, I don't know, that's really complicated. What do you do? So even if we went no further, it's already complicated. And a fascinating question, really, fascinating. The Gemara then adds another layer and says, listen, we have a concept in halacha called suffek. Every single day, no matter according to any shita, but every single day is a suffek Shabbos, because you don't know for sure. If you knew for sure, we'd have no problems. So whatever they're arguing about, whether the first day is Shabbos, the last day is Shabbos, but what about the other six? And the Gemara says, Ein achinami. We view every single day as a suffek Shabbos, and therefore every single day, the only malacha that you're allowed to do is kedei parnasaso. In other words, the bare minimum you need to live. If you have enough berries, then don't do nothing. Just sit there and relax. If you need to go hunting or trapping because you got no other food, okay, but only Mishum B'Koach Nefesh, basically, the Gemara says. And that's not just the day you keep Shabbos, according to either Shita. It's all 7 days. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos too, that's B'Koach Nefesh, that was last week's topic. But even the other 6 days, whatever order you had them in. It's a Safik Daraisa. You can't do any malacha other than what's mutter. So then the Gemara asks the question, so what's the point of arguing what day Shabbos if every day is going to have the same Isra malacha with the same Hepter Pikach Nefesh? So the Gemara says, for Kiddush and Havdalah. You have Kiddush and Havdalah, whatever that day is. It's Machlok Zerun Rav Chisda, what day it should be, but you have Kiddush and Havdalah. That is it.
When? Every seventh day?
The Machlok is, due to it. No, good. So, Myron, you're not confused. Myron is sharp. That's the question that the Rishonim and the Achronim are going to ask. But the Gemara, to be clear, what Alan said is correct. The Gemara meant only on the seventh day. In other words, how do you separate the seventh from the other six if on none of the days is there a Heter Malacha? The answer is, on the seventh, you'll do Kiddush and Havdalah. Now, which is the seventh? So that was the debate between Rav Huna and Rav.
Maybe the seventh day you won't do Kiddush and Havdalah either.
No, he can't do that because maybe that's Shabbos. Even on that day, again, think about it. It's fascinating. It's easy to be confused because it's so surprising. But even on that day, maybe it's Shabbos. So who gave you a right to do any more than you need to get through that day? Every single day might be Shabbos. You only have a heter each day. So yes, because Nefesh is mutter tomorrow too, right? So I want to just mention to you, Agav, an interesting grah. It's an interesting grah. I saw it. I did not see it inside, but it's quoted in a number of svarim, either in Kol Eliyahu or Deres Eliyahu. But it's a grah on Yisro, I would almost call it a classic grah. And he makes the following point in Yisro in the Aseret Dibros. And there's a difference on the pasuk about Shabbos, Perchof Sukkim Chesru Tes. The Torah tells us, Sheishes Yomim Tavod, Vasisa Kol Malachtecha. Yom Hashvi, Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, Losasa Kol Malacha. Frektagroth, three questions. The first one could be the punchline of a Purim Shpiel, or for that matter, a joke any time of the year, which is, since when is there a mitzvah to work? You all know the joke probably already, right? But that's the Groth asked the Kasha. But he understands the psukim is implying there's a mitzvah to work. It's in that particular pasuk, it's symmetrical with the pasuk of resting on Shabbos. So he says the grubble, Behecha Teis is a mitzvah to work. Secondly, he asks, why does the Torah tell us, on 6 days you have to do all your work? What's the kol? And then the mirror image of that question is his third question, which is, why does it say, Losasa kol malacha? What's the kol there also? So the Gra answers it based on our Gemara. Says the Gra, it's a remez to our Gemara. What was the opening? Zocher as Yom HaShabbos Akasho. Says the Gra, the Torah is giving you good advice. Remember and know definitively what day is Shabbos. Because if you know what day is Shabbos, then Sheishes Yomim, you'll be able to be Tavod, Vesisa, Kol Malachtecha. Not just Kedei Parnasaso, you'll be able to do all your work. And then when it comes to Shabbos, you'll be able to have a Losasa, Kol Malacha. You'll be able to have a full Tishbos instead of having to worry about doing your Pikuach Nefesh work. But if you all of a sudden you lose out and you're no longer Zachar Yom HaShabbos, you can't do all your work on the 6 days and you can't not do all your work on the 7 days because you're always worrying about could it be Shabbos and how do I survive. So that's a little bit of a cute knach from the Gra. So what I wanted to do, and there's a lot of literature, I was just mentioning to some people before the Shir, even these sugyas are brought, in general the discussion is there are some recent writers who have written about space and the moon, or more classically, and we won't have time to get to it, but just so you should know, maybe it'll be for another shiur. Leave aside issues of the international dateline, which are complicated enough. But there's also issues of the Tiferes Yisrael. If anyone's interested, you can look it up. At the end, in the Boaz, at the end of Brachos, he has a big discussion about the North Pole, or something like that, where you're in a place where for 3 months it's all day, or 3 months it's all night. The Moruk Tzir of Yaakov Emden has a similar such discussion. And then I mentioned, I came across it, and I tried to do a little bit of research, and I did find a few tshuvas. Apparently, Ilan Ramon, Zachron Levracha, asked the Lubavitcher Rabbi in Cape Canaveral, or whatever it's called, Chabad, or whatever that was called, what do I do for Shabbos? I remember this, I lived in Riverdale at the time, and I remember, of course we all remember the tragedy, but even before that I remember reading about how he, you know, was makbid, he brought a Torah, and he brought a Kiddush cup, and he felt, to his great credit, he felt very much that he wasn't just going as a person, but he was going as a representative not only of Israel, but a representative of the Jewish people. What I didn't realize, I don't know if it was published at the time, but I certainly did follow it, was that he wanted to be makbid, and we all know he wasn't full Shomer Shabbos in the rest of his life, but he wanted to be makbid to be fully Shomer Shabbos. The question was, how to do it? what day to keep Shabbos. So he asked the Chabad Rav. The Chabad Rav did not know, and the Chabad Rav sent us as a shaila to various poskim, and I was able to collect some of the tshuvas. So we won't have, so that, you know, could be another interesting topic. That's probably like an all-night Shavuos topic. Like at 4 in the morning, we'll discuss that, and at 5 in the morning, we'll discuss it. If you have two heads, which head you put tefillin on? You know, this is in that kind of a category of late-night topics. So we won't discuss those things, even though there is literature and all that, and I'll do, in all seriousness, these are real topics, certainly. But I wanted to divide up the discussion that I found on the Rishonim and the Achronim into three or four categories. Number one is I wanted to investigate a little bit further some very interesting machlokas Rishonim about malacha, how much they can do, what can they do, what can't they do. Number two, I want to discuss the issue of Kiddush, slash Avdallah, but Kiddush. And number three, Tefillin, which is not at all even in the Gemara. What does he do about Tefillin? If he had, maybe he brought him on the backpack. What does he do about davening? The Gemara doesn't talk about that. On the day that he keeps Shabbos, does he do a Shabbos davening? Does he do a regular davening? And the like. So let's divide and conquer, and let's go in that order. So on the Malacha issue, there's a short and fascinating Tosfos on the Daf. And the Gemara, the Tosfos discusses Tchumen. One of the things, if he's not allowed, if he has to keep Shabbos, the Shaila is he allowed to go more than his 2,000 mil? So the Tosfos says as follows. The Lashon of Tosfos, which is the Shitos and the Svara of Tosfos, are very important. The first thing Tosfos basically says is the other 6 days. Before I forget, I should have said it clearly. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the second sheet in the Gemara, that you count 6 days and on the seventh day you rest. That's the Psak in Shulchan Aruch. It's a small two-sif simin shin mem dalad, or if you're from shin dalad mem, that's the simin in Shulchan Aruch. And we Paskin like that opinion. So, when it says, the Gemara says you can't do malacha and misafik, you can't do malacha and pekoch nefesh all 7 days, not just the 6 days. So Tosfos wants to know, what about the Isra of Tchumen? And again, we're not talking about somebody who's going on an idle walk. This guy might be looking. He's looking for the ocean. He's looking to find the village. He's looking to save himself. So is that? Can he also not do that on Shabbos? So Tosfos says the other 6 days, Tosfos assumes is davar pashut, that it's mutter. Even though, remember, it's Suffolk Shabbos those days too. Hold. On the seventh day, the day he's making Kiddush and Havdalah, we'll call it, Tosfos quotes two shitas, and he quotes the Mekil is the Rav Porat, which is from Ben Paras Yosef. It's Yosef, the son of the Rashbam. And he's quoted every now and then as the Rav Porat. That's from his name Yosef. It's Yosef, the son of the Rashbam. So he's Mekil. Why? So in other words, he's Mekil all 7 days, not just the 6 days. Because according to Tosfos, everyone will be Mekil on the 6 days. He's Mekil even on the day you keep Shabbos. So it's Suffolk Shabbos every day, and on one of the days you're even doing Kiddush and Avdallah. But Tchum is not a problem. Why, says Tosfos? A very fascinating svara. So because if we're makbid and limit how far he can go, he may never be saved. He may never be saved. If we're allowing him to do a little malacha for the work, so he doesn't starve to death, to eat, so he doesn't starve to death, we're going to tell him, but he's got to stay in his cave that week, that whole day. He's got to be able to go. And what's Mali one, 6 days, Mali one day? It's still Pekoch Nefesh. And therefore, Tosfos assumed that it's totally mutter. The Rosh paskins this way as well, and it's mashma, especially from the Rosh, it's mashma from both of them, Alan, that even if you'll assume Tchumen is the Oraisa, it doesn't matter. Pikoch nefesh is doch, even malach is the Oraisa. And it's certainly not an Isra Skila anyway, even it will be, it's mutter, because that's the impression, again, the Lashon of Tosfos, I didn't bring it with me, but it basically has like almost a rhetorical question. Tosfos basically says, and if you don't let him do that, how is he ever going to get saved? The Ran also agrees, but the Ran was machaven to Alan. The Ran adds, and why is it mutter? Because tchumen are only mitar rabbanan and v'chi hagavna lo gazru. I think so, if I remember correctly. But his explanation is that it's only mitar rabbanan. Exactly. Correct. So the reason, I'll tell you, you're right, which is why we pass in that way. It's clearly the more compelling svara. What's the other tzad? Because we need to have something that makes Shabbos minkare, the Lashon of Tosfos says. It has to be a hecker for Shabbos. So if I'm running around like I did all 7 days, maybe that's not a hekker. And the second day, the Rav Parag says there's a hekker because they had many kiddush in Havdalah. So again, clearly it's a compelling svara. I'm only going to try so hard to defend the other svara. But there is another svara. Tosfos quotes it, but it's clearly overwhelmed by the other shitas. Huh? No, that's the point. The Ran says it's only because chumen are darabanan. But the mashmos of the Rosh and Tosfos are even if it's midaraisa, it's mutter. So sure, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch and see if Aleph there, Shulchan Aruch is beferish. You're allowed to go as far as you want. You know, look for freedom. The Taz there, Sifkat Aleph, says because chumen are darabanan. But the Magen Avram and the Mishnah Berurah passing like the Magen Avram says no, even if it's daraisa, if this is pekuach nefesh, it's allowed. So, first of all, I just think it's a fascinating machlokus in its own right. But I want to show you something very interesting. Oh, before I tell you something off the topic, but fascinating, the Bir Halacha there has another interesting point. The Bir Halacha says, what if you have a guy who says, I can go a day without eating? I can fast. I'm strong. I'm the man. I can do it. So, if he really feels that way, maybe even the minimum halacha, which we say is usually allowed, should be usher for him. Yeah, maybe it's also from because he thinks he can fast. Do we tell him if he thinks he could do it, would we be mechayev him to do it? Fasting on Shabbos is a habit, it's a nothing. I mean, with all due respect to cholent. No, but okay, so I'm not recommending it to him. I'm not whispering into his ear, you could do it, you could do it. Good. I'm just trying to tell you, the Bir Halacha quotes 2 days. The Bir Halacha quotes not just a suffix in his own mind. The Bir Halacha dug up two achronim, Nahar Shalom, and somebody else, I don't remember who. The Bir Halacha quotes 2 days on this machlokas. And I think it may be connected to a larger issue, but let's go off the topic and then I'll bring it back. The off the topic is as follows. There's a big discussion in Poskim about autopsies or in medical school working on cadavers, right? There's an Isra of Nival Hameis, for a Jew especially, so in Israel this is a very serious Shiloh, but even in America, potentially for a Jew to be involved, for a Kohen in America to be in medical school, these are all Shilohs. But let's even focus on Eretz Yisrael if you knew it was a Jewish mace. It's a big discussion. What about cancer researchers and AIDS researchers, v'chule? What can they do? So the Note of Yehuda has a very famous tshuva. The Note of Yehuda holds it's usher. These types of I know this person died of the Black Death, so if I'll do the autopsy, I'll figure out, this is da-da-da, and maybe that'll help me save lives. The Note of Yehuda was not oblivious to it. But he said, if there's no imminent life to be saved, the famous term is chola b'faneinu, then that cannot override the isser. If you had a chola b'faneinu, a guy says, I have a doctor, the guy is dying in the office, if I can just figure out why he died, I can save Yenim, so no abuse of his mutter. So there's a sefer, a tshuva sefer called Netzer Matai. I am very proud to thank my wonderful friend Daniel Feldman, who is indescribable bakias, is what shared it with me. Even he's not really sure who the author is. I still don't know who the author is. But I did have a copy. He was able to PDF and email me a copy of the tshuva. He has a tshuva where Luli Mistafina, he takes on the Note of Yehuda. And the premise, in the middle of this Mitten Drinnen, he quotes our topic, our Gemara, and our Tosfos. And he says, he thinks with all due respect, the Note of Yehuda is wrong. Because unlike more concrete types of things where, if I want to be over, I'm worried about, I might have a future Pikuach Nefesh, so I'm going to be over now. So, but when it comes to finding cures for disease, if we don't figure it out now, when there'll be a cholah b'faneinu, we're not going to know it. So he says we have to have a more expanded definition of pikuach nefesh. Now, who gave you a right to such an expanded definition of pikuach nefesh? Says the Netzer Matai, Tosfos. Again, think about our Tosfos. The Ran says it's only mutter k'schumen ramir rabbanon. After all, I'm not in pikuach nefesh that moment. The Gemara gave me a hetzer to have food. I mean, we're not discussing again. We can all imagine horror stories where, I don't know, a lion or some, you know, native is trying to kill him. Okay, that's a different story. But we're describing all things being equal. He just lost. It's lonely. It's scary. I'm not. I'm sympathetic to him. But there's no imminent danger now. And he's not even going to starve because he's got this food. He killed the bison. He's going to eat that. So why should he be allowed to go to Tchumen? Ah, it's only Midrabanan. So that's why it's okay. But Tosa says, no, even Midaraisa it's allowed. Why should it be allowed? Daraisa? What's the Pikuach Nefesh? Because he'll get saved quicker if the more he's traveling, the more he learns. Says Netzer Mata, you see something mechudish from Tosfos. It's a much broader. You don't need imminent pikuach nefesh to count as pikuach nefesh. If you look at the big picture, says the Tosfos, this is Lashon HaTosfos. If you look at the big picture, and you say, I'm going to constrict his movements, in the big picture, you're making it less likely for him to be found or to find safety, that counts even to be Mechal Shabbos in the here and now. That's a very broad definition of pikuach nefesh. And the Netzer Mata says, that applies to us as well. Plus he adds, he has a raya. Because the Chasam Sofer does a similar thing. Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, I alluded to it a little bit last week, but the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, where he wants to know the following. You have somebody who's Nebuch HaShota, and they tell him, if you'll send the child, you send this person to this solarium, or this psychiatric hospital, they can cure him. But they're going to be feeding him the Velus and Travis. So the Lashon of the Chasam Sofer is that it's mutter, because in essence, if you will, chalel mitzvah achas, so that hopefully he can be nichnas to a life of Torah mitzvahs. So first of all, the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer is he's applying a category that in essence is about physical health to spiritual health. Now he's not the first person to do that. There's a whole literature of Maror Mikomis, which I once collected, people who look at halachic sources that are about physical health and death, life and death, apply them to spiritual categories. But beyond that, even if you accept that jump, it's a much more expanded definition. There's nothing imminently. I don't know, but right now the person's father from mitzvahs anyway. So it says, you see this notion of a more expanded definition implied in Tosfos, and again, I'm not saying there aren't ways to disagree with this, but I thought, like, of all places to find where the hashlachos, the ramifications of our sugya, they even could go in both of these directions. I wanted to add, on his daiti, that may be what animates, again, I didn't look up these achronim inside, but that may be what animates the tudeis in the bir halacha as well. Namely, if you have this machlokas, a person says, again, I can go a day without eating. Is it also to work that day? So it may be connected, because those who are matir, is the lashon in the bir halacha, those who are matir say, no, if he'll eat, he'll be stronger, he'll get out of the forest, he'll get out of the desert faster. So again, if you view that as called pikuach nefesh, even though it's not imminent, but we look at the big picture, what scenario will make my odds of survival greater, if that's enough to be called pikuach nefesh, then maybe, even though the guy does not need the food imminently, he could fast a day, but it's still called pikuach nefesh, and he'd be allowed to eat. He'd be allowed to do malacha. But if you said no, it's a much more constricted definition. We look at him right now, is he in life and death? If he's not life and death, then he can't do malacha. So then you would never be able to do that. But the whole basis of Tosfos, which we accept l'halacha, and according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's not just the psak, it's the reason, the Magen Avraham, it's the reason of this expanded definition, so that may be why we would be allowed to be matir here as well. Well, that's basically what Tosfos says. That's basically what Tosfos says.
Well, that's what the Yehuda is saying. He's in a state of...
No, Yehuda is disagreeing with.
No, I don't think he's disagreeing with Tosfos. No, Yehuda, who is in Tosfos? He's just going to tell you that this person is in a state of pikuach nefesh.
As opposed to the case of the autopsy?
Yeah, you can't tell me someone who's taking chemotherapy and on Shabbos he's due for his chemotherapy can't get his chemotherapy on Shabbos. Because he's in a state of pikuach nefesh.
Okay, but that, again, that's not the case.
It's not imminent.
Here's the case. Again, the case is, can I do an autopsy or something to find out, to help me cure cancer?
Right,
there's not even a cholo with me. And the Netzer Mata would say yes because of Tosfos.
Right, so I would say there's no riot from Tosfos because there's an autopsy, there's nobody in the state of pikuach nefesh. Yes, there might be someone in the state of pikuach nefesh a year from now, then this autopsy would happen.
Or down the block. It's
or
just
down
not,
the block.
That I don't know.
Nobody I have now... Here, this person who's lost is in a state of pikuach.
Okay.
Just like.
Although it begs the question then, so what's the day, the machmir day in the bir halacha? And that's what really set me off. Because I also would think, how should it be usher? Again, the lashon is not whether he's a right to be machmir on himself. That's its own question. Would you tell the guy, what are you crazy? How could he take a chance like that? That's not the question. The question is, maybe if he doesn't need it, it's usher from Zdum halacha. And there's a day of bir halacha that says taka. So that's clearly a very, very narrow definition. That's rejecting this idea of a state. So again, so maybe if this Netzer Mata is off the derech, that's good. I just enjoyed quoting. but I think my tushdel or my tliya is correct in terms of connecting the matirim to Tosfos, and that's the only explanation I can think of for the machmirim is that they don't accept. And again, it's hard to know for sure, but maybe I'm just bedarach avsher. Maybe that's what animates the Ran. That's why the Ran picks this other svar of Tchum and the Rabbanon. Okay, Adkan. Nope. You have to go the last week's shir. I didn't say no. The whole shir last week was about that svara. But to say it in one, but it's clear from the Rishonim and the Gemara that the real basis is Chaybahem. Nevertheless, that was the whole purpose of last week's shir, was we went through various Rishonim and Achronim who still used Chalal of Shabbos Achas. But whether you use it or not, and when you use it, is not simple at all. Okay, let's discuss Kiddush. So the Gemara says, how are you going to differentiate this day from the other six? Kiddush and Havdalah. So the basic question I want to ask you, which is really ultimately a very profound question, is why are we making Kiddush? Do I know today is Shabbos, and therefore I'm mechuyev to make Kiddush? Or is it me suffering I'll make Kiddush? Now, of course, there's a good question on both. If you say it's definite, well, how do you know it's definite? You don't even know what day it is. And if you say it's only me suffering, well, why is this any more or less of a suffering than any other day? So, Lemaisa, with that kind of question lurking in the background, which again, if you read the Gemara with a good cup, you'll ask these questions on your own. So with that in mind, Rashi says the following. You appreciate Rashi. Rashi says, why do you make Kiddush and Havdalah? Because it's basically not a mikra din. It's a special, unique halacha for the guy who's lost, who's trying to survive. And we're doing it just because we want to make sure Shlo Tishkach Torah Shabbos. If there's no difference from any of the 7 days, says Rashi, you know, it doesn't mean that if he got found in 3 years, he wouldn't remember Shabbos. But, well, maybe it does mean it, I'm not sure. But the idea is that it shouldn't be totally lost from a person's life that one of the days is different than the other six. But it's not a real din of Kiddush. You know, in theory, if you could accomplish the same thing by tying a bow on your finger, it's an essential same accomplishment according to Rashi. Of course, it's more meaningful doing Kiddush and Havdalah. But it's very symbolic in Midrabanan. So in light of that, the Prima Gaudim asked the following kasha. The Prima Gaudim, as you may know, not only has his most famous for his commentary in Shulchan Aruch, the Prima Gaudim has small Chidushim on Shas, known as the Rosh Yosef. So the Rosh Yosef on the Gemara here in Shabbos asked the following kasha. Why shouldn't I be mechuyev to make Kiddush every single day? Misafik, maybe it's Shabbos. Just as we say he has to be abstaining from Malacha all other 6 days, maybe he also has to make Kiddush. And after all, let's remember, Kiddush may very well be a Chiyav Daraisa. Friday night Kiddush.
But not with wine.
Good! Who said anything about wine? You think my guy who's lost has got a peckle of wine?
I
Cabernet Sauvignon, you know?
So
or my personal favorite, sparkling grape juice. Yeah, whatever, yeah. Zachas Yom HaShabbos L'Kasho. Or he could go, we've discussed this in the past in various forums, you know, about the different shitas and how you can fulfill Kiddush. You know, maybe good Shabbos is enough, and maybe L'Chadodi is enough, you know. However, but the point is it's not clear from the Gemara. Says no. The Gemara says just the seventh day. So after Rosh Yosef, why should that be? No, because Alf Malacha, you're doing the same thing all 7 days. It's no more or less a steer from any other day. Okay, interesting. That's interesting. That's not what he answers. I didn't think about that. That's not bad. Suffolk. No, it's Daraisa Kiddush. We don't say Suffolk Kiddush. First of all, you don't need to make a bracha. And second of all, we wouldn't say it anyway on Kiddush. So the Rosh Yosef says the following. He says, you know why we avoid Kiddush the other 6 days? We're avoiding making a bracha levatala. If any of those days are Shabbos, then Kiddush is justified. But if it wouldn't have been Shabbos, it's a bracha levatala. So we have to do it one day to be mavgil between Shabbos and other days. But that's his fear, is bracha levatala. Now, it's a very difficult answer, among other reasons, because others who quote this make it totally on bracha. You know, some say that according to the Rambam, or according to different shitas, according to some, bracha levatala, meaning saying Hashem's name in the context of a bracha may only be midrabanan. The Rambam is daraisa, but it's not at all simple that should be a sufficient. Yeah, it's not so clear that should be a sufficient answer. So I actually thought a very interesting answer, maybe a more compelling answer, is I offer Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. In the Dibros Moshe, speaking of sperm that people were proud of but aren't known for, I think the saying that I remember hearing in Yeshiva years and years ago is that Rabbi Moshe, to his dying days, felt that his magnum opus was Dibros Moshe, not Igros Moshe. It bothered him greatly that they're very, very rarely learned. The best, I've used it a few times, and I have actually found it to be excellent every time I use it. They're very long and very difficult pieces, which is ultimately the reason I think they're not used that popular. They're just too long. But be that as it may, they've tried more recently. Art School started republishing them with sort of David Feinstein, but I don't know if that made them any more popular in Yeshiva, just in nicer book covers. But in the Dibros Moshe on Shabbos, in the back there, he has Ha'aris. And if I remember correctly, I think it was Ha'ar Yotes or something. He has a little paragraph on our Gemara. And he writes, I think, Echem Ibnei HaChabur or Echem Ibnei HaYeshivas asked him the same question. Maybe because he saw the Rosh Yosef, I don't know. But Rav Moshe asks his Kasha, and he gives the following answer. He says, listen, Kiddush isn't some like dry, forgive the pun, mitzvah of just Amiras Dvarim, or Sibar Dvarim, of just saying something, Amiras Teshnishin. The purpose of Kiddush, and this is certainly true according to the Rambam, or most true according to the Rambam, is to be mavdil, is to set apart Shabbos from the other days. If you would make Kiddush every day, it's by definition pointless. The whole kunst of Kiddush is that it separates. So either you'll say you don't do it at all, which the Gemara at first considered, or you say, in order to be mavdil today, I have to do something, I'll do Kiddush. But you can't do Kiddush every day because it's counterproductive. So then I saw, working backwards now, or in reverse chronological order, the Ritva, in essence, almost asks an opposite question. The Ritva says, how could the Gemara say, make Kiddush on the seventh day? Isn't that a kasha of Suffolk Bracha Levatala? Why don't we say Suffolk Brachos Lachos? We don't say it, the Gemara didn't say it, but the Ritva asks that kasha. Why do we even allow him to say it one day, not 7 days, one day? So the Ritva gives two answers. The first answer is a wild one, because then Echanami, even if you remember, you know what kid doesn't know Kiddush by heart? When you make Kiddush, when you make Havdalah, do it without Hashem's name. It's like this clever little cutesy thing you wouldn't expect it from a Rishon or a Ritva, but that's what the Ritva says. Maybe make it without Hashem's name. Maybe that's what the Gemara meant. He didn't come up with that shtick. I don't know if he held to that shtick. I don't know how recent is that shtick. I don't know. I don't know. But he didn't hold. He doesn't say it. He says maybe the Gemara means that Hashem's name. And the second thing he says is, since bracha levatala, shem Hashem l'shav, in a context of a bracha is only mir rabbanon, so b'chiyah gavna, one day a week, they won't go there. It's like, that's the mirror image of the Rosh Yosef, is this ritva. Now the truth is that the Radvaz, and here we get to if nothing else, you have this, I hope you'll remember, because it's impossible to forget this Radvaz, it's in the back pocket. Or as I've said to you on many occasions, this is the kind of thing you just, if it's slow around the shmorg, and when you're speaking with somebody, you're looking to impress them, or if anyone's got a future son-in-law's coming home, just say, so what do you think of that Radvaz? This is an important Radvaz. You just want to drop, you don't want to have this in the back pocket whenever you need to make an impression. Or you're in the car with a big guttle and you have some, I have had this numerous times in my life where I have this, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, where I have so-and-so with me. I've been dreaming about this. Well, depends on who. You never know. When you finally have the opportunity, you get tongue-tied. Right? So you're tongue-twisted. So here, this is a Radvaz to keep in the back of your pocket, the back pocket for any of these moments. The Radvaz is in Chelek Aleph, Siman Ayin Vav. And in essence, he was basically dealing with the following question, which is, how do you understand the notion, Shabbos is the seventh day God rested? How is it possible that on two ends of the earth, people are keeping Shabbos at two different times? Like, when did God rest? Did he rest when they're keeping Shabbos in America, or did he rest when they're keeping Shabbos in Australia? When did he rest? So that's the Radvaz's question. That's what he's dealing with. And in the context of that question, the Radvaz says something which, on some level, it astounds me. On another level, there may be some other people who hold of it. I'm not sure. The Radvaz says, Shabbos is not like Omeid v'Kayam as a objective moment in time. What Shabbos is dependent on the people and the place. Shabbos means that you count 6 days, and on the seventh day you remember that God rested. It's not meant to be, if you will, an anniversary of when God rested. And in theory, if you started on Mondays, and therefore Sunday was your day of rest, right? That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is not stam as I'm picking out of the blue, but within the context of a 7 day week, that part he is makbid on, 6 days you work, and on the seventh day you rest. That's the definition of Shabbos. So if that's when they do it in Australia, so on that day, that is Shabbos, bevados for them. Not me suffic, bevadai. And for me, it's bevadai. And it's not a stereo that it's happening in two different 24-hour periods. Because Shabbos depends on the people and the place. He has two proofs, or at least two proofs that I'll mention to you. I'm not sure that either of them are mukhrach, but he has two proofs. One is from the sugya of Goyshe Shavas, right? The Gemara says that a non-Jew who keeps Shabbos, it's a capital offense. Now, from the Gemara, you get the impression that it's this Matana Tova, between Hashem and the Jewish people, it's the seventh day. Yet the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim Paskins, that any day of the week, even on a Sunday, or on a Monday, or on a Tuesday, if a non-Jew would say every 7 days, on Monday, I'm going to have a day of rest, or on Tuesday, the Rambam holds it's the same Isser D'Oraisa Chiyuv Misa as if he rested on Saturdays. Huh? That's a separate discussion of what Malacha counts for them. But whatever it is, whatever it is, and not everyone agrees with that, Mickey. But that's not the point for now. If you every say that's so many ask, what kind of that's just a Narishkeit. He's making up his own religion. What's it got to do with anything? Said the Radvaz, no, you see from here exactly the point. Because it doesn't matter which day. But if someone says I'm gonna keep 6 days and then on the seventh day I'm gonna rest because God rested, that is Shabbos. And a non-Jew is not allowed to do that. He's chayv misa. It's a different day than the rest of people even in his own city are keeping. It's still considered Shabbos. That is, he really had a Shabbos. It's really had a Shabbos. He's taka chayiv. Yeah, it's wild. And the second thing the Radvaz says, or a second thing that he says is, our Gemara. Why? Because, he says, when you make Kiddush, the Pshat in our Gemara is because for him it's Vaday Shabbos. Why is it Vaday Shabbos? Because he counted 6 days and then he rested. The Gemara was asking, it's a whole different read of our Gemara. Not what do you do when you don't know. In our Gemara, and this is clearly Mukhruch in Rashi, even the Maskana, you don't know when Shabbos is. We're asking, what's my modus vivendi? What do I do in an impossible situation? You can never be sure that you kept Shabbos, but this is what you got to do. That's clearly Rashi's Lashon. Even the Ritva who asks, how do we let him to say it? The whole question of the Ritva is premised on the fact that you're keeping Shabbos misafek, and frankly, you'll never know for sure until you get, you know, rescued. According to the Radvaz, it's a completely different Gemara. The Havamin of the Gemara, or I should say the first stage of the Gemara is, I don't know what to do because I lost track of time. So then the Gemara says, we'll tell you what to do. Count 6 days and keep Shabbos, or the other Shita was Shabbos and then 6 days. But the point is, once you get into that cycle, says the Radvaz, in essence, an invisible transition has taken place in the Gemara. And by the time you get to the Maskan of the Gemara, you do know when Shabbos is. Why do you have to keep it? He says that's the Chumra Midah Rabbanan. He hedges, you know. He walked up to the cliffs, he looked down, and he says, I'll use a parachute. He jumps, he does jump, but he takes the parachute along with him for the ride. What do you mean to the extent? And therefore? On the other 6 days? You're saying there's a difference?
No.
I'm not following. For B'kos Nefesh. No, that is what's happening on the 6 days. And on the seventh day, for you, it's Vaday Shabbos, which is why the only melacha you're allowed to do is for B'kos Nefesh. I don't know. Good. I didn't think about that. I'm not sure.
Tasha
don't know.
Gets rescued. The kash kashikol is that bad.
No, 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 no. Once he's in a yeshuv, once he gets, once he rejoins society, so then he's, his das is bottle daito etzel, you know, in Copenhagen or whatever they say, wherever they saved him, you know, off the shores of whatever. You know, that's fine. But he does point out, and if it turns out, no, but this is an afkamina, I thought maybe we were saying that. If he finds out that he had been wrong, it was always a Tuesday, he does not have to bring a carbon. As it's not viewed as a aver b'shogeg. Because it was never besafik. Because for him, he was kibush avodai. Yosef's question is a good question. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. I don't know. And I'll give you one nafkamina that I thought of beyond the obvious. So, just first of all, so that certainly, if you accept the Radvaz, which I told you this would be a doozy. I warn you, right? You know, you could just tell this to people for shock value. So the Radvaz. So clearly, according to the Radvaz, this whole siman in Shulchan Aruch is not just like some hecha timsa. It's not like a sif in Shulchan Aruch was written just for the guy who's lost. It's actually a mafteach to understanding how Shabbos works for all of us. And again, that's how he understands that to him there's no steer between us keeping Shabbos today and in China them keeping it whenever. You know, when in Eretz Yisrael they already started keeping Shabbos 6 hours before we keep Shabbos. What does that mean? What it means is that wherever you are, that's what the determines. So I saw an interesting shayla. The Prima Gadim asks the suffix the following shayla. I'm benching, and I, again, this is like classic. If it wouldn't be the Prima Gadim, it would have to be the Minchas Chinuch. So here I am, you know, it's Survivor, I barely made it, and, you know, I got snakes, and, you know, nipping at my heels, and, you know, lions chasing me, and I'm barely allowed to do malacha, and I eat a little bit so I can survive, and then I have to bench, and then I realize, oh, I didn't say Ritzay. What a yeshiva guy. You know, if he ever survives, he deserves a good shit up. You know, what a frumic. So the Prima Gadim has a suffix, does he have to go back? Does he have to go for Ritzay? Now, if you or I do this on a Shabbos, I forget, since it's a varai chiyuv to say Ritzay, it's a varai chiyuv to go back. So he says, the Prima Gadim, in essence, is asking the Shaila, if it's only a suffix Shabbos for him, then it was only a suffix to say Ritzay. So if it's only a suffix to say Ritzay, if you forgot, you don't have to go back. But if it's a, no, again, he should have said Ritzay, but if he forgot, does he have to go back? So according to the, if you hold it's like Rashi and the Ritva, it's only Misafik, you don't have to go back. But if according to the Radvaz, it's no different than you and me on Shabbos. Very fascinating. Okay, we'll just do two small ones and then we'll be done. Tefillin. So if you take a look at the Bir Halacha and other Nosei Kelim, there's a big discussion, what about tefillin? That's not in the Gemara at all. And you seem to have two or three different shitas. Again, assuming that in his backpack with the Swiss Army knife, he also has tefillin. So some say that he doesn't have to put on tefillin. But maybe he should put on tefillin, you know, Mikra Din, you know, maybe every day is Safek Shabbos. So some say he should put on tefillin maybe 6 days, but he shouldn't put it on the day he makes Kiddush, the Tarta Desasrei. That's one Shita. Right? Kafachayim quotes this idea as well, that from the Pesach Dvir, that 6 days he should put on tefillin without a bracha, but on the day he makes Kiddush, no. The Bir Halacha says he should put on Kiddush. It's a long Bir Halacha, but if I think the Maskana of Bir Halacha, if I remember correctly, was he would even put on tefillin the day he made Kiddush, but not at the time he's making Kiddush. He would take it off. Again, this relates a little bit to the days of the, you know, the 1.5 Yom Tov Sheni Sugya, but that's, I don't want to get lost in that. We're lost in the desert. We don't need to be lost in that Sugya. And last but not least, the Mishnah Berurah and the Kaf HaChaim have a further discussion. What about davening? Either you'll tell me he kept a little sinner, because, you know, if he went out on his trip, you know, what's the nigger for Gilligan's Island? You know, he went out on his trip, so Mastama, he took a sitter, so maybe he could daven, and even if not, maybe he knows certain tefillos by player. So what should he do for davening? Again, it's not in the Gemara or a Rishon. But the Kaf HaChaim and Mishnah Berurah discuss what should he do to daven. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel assumes, just like Dach Agav in his conversation, he assumes it's a given, of course he's going to daven. Of course, he's davening Shal Shabbos. The day that he's making Avdol and Kiddush, well, of course, he should daven also. The Kaf HaChaim has two shitas. Kaf HaChaim has one shita that's medayik from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch says malacha this, and Kiddush this, and Avdol that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anything about davening. You do the Gemara. So the Kaf HaChaim says one day is medayik, that the fact that you shouldn't say it at all. Because maybe it's untrue. And maybe it is Shabbos, so I mentioned Kiddush for that. But to go so far as to say Shabbos to davening. Yeah, exactly. The second Shita that the Kaf HaChaim quotes and the Prima Gadim as well argue that you should say Tefillah. And to the extent that anyone talks about it, even Agav, they dug up a Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Chaf Beis has a lashon about how on this day you'll do tefillin, Havdalah, and you'll do Kiddush, umevorech bo birkas hayom. Now, I didn't look around in the Nosek Kamel to see what that means. I guess it's a little bit enigmatic. But the Prima Gadim says it means davening. It means Mekadosh HaShabbos in your tefillos. So, that certainly could be that. And Lamaisa, it seems to be that the conclusion is that you should daven Mishal Shabbos in all three of the regular tefillos. And I thought it's a suffix about Musaf. So since it's a suffix about Musaf, I want to recommend to all of you never get lost in the desert, because I won't know what to tell you if you get a satellite call and you ask me what should I do about Musaf. I'll say, I don't know. So better not to get lost.
According to the Rabbis, though,
a good Shabbos.
According to the Rabbis, you should daven regular on the seventh day.